edition of Market Scope is brought to you by radio. Without your radio, you couldn't make an air check.
Heidi Exers, welcome to Market Scope for December 1999. Now, before we get into this column, I'd like to wish everyone a tremendous holiday season. May your stocking be stuffed with all kinds of good things. And may the upcoming change of all four digits in the year be good to you. Hi, I'm Phil Wayne, your happy holiday host for Market Scope, welcoming back guest host Mark Erdman as he completes his visit of Phoenix oldie stations.
Country oldies or classics were found at 1230 on the AM dial until April 15th. Chancellor Broadcasting, owner of KISO, did some major format and frequency flipping that day, and KISO was no more. The adult standards that used to be on 550 KOY moved down the dial to 1230. 550 then turned into KGME, The Game, the third sports station in Phoenix. Formerly at 1360 as that frequency and station was sold to Salem Broadcasting. Have we lost you yet? Rick Stevenson's AM Drive Show is featured here from Kiss Country Oldies.
I grew up on 1580 and then they went off there, but I like this station better because you play nothing but the oldies.
Playing your all-time country favorites, AM 1230, Kiss Country Oldies.
AM 1230, KISO, Kiss Country Oldies. You ain't woman enough to take my man. That's Loretta Lynn. From 1966. Good morning. 6:51 now. I'm Rick Stevenson. 9 minutes away from 7 o'clock coming up. Don Williams and the Nitty Gritty Dirt Band coming up too on AM 1230 Kiss Country Oldies. And of course, another opportunity to win on Kiss Country Oldies as we're giving away Crystal. That's why Crystal Gale is coming to the Red River Music Hall on Sunday, April 11th. We're giving away Crystal. Just listen to this Kiss Country Oldies Crystal clip.
Don't know why, baby, will me ever.
Can you identify those five Crystal Gale songs? If you can, write them down and send them in. Listen again.
Don't know why, baby, will me ever.
Five Crystal Gale songs, and if you know them, write them down, mail them in. You're going to win a pair of tickets to the 7:30 show at the Red River Music Hall. Enjoy dinner for two of Monty's La Casa Vieja in Tempe. Plus, you'll go backstage to meet Crystal Gale and receive from Crystal personally a beautiful Waterford Crystal Bowl from her store in Nashville, Crystals for Fine Gifts and Jewelry. All right, just identify the five songs in the Crystal Clip. Mail your entry to Crystal Clips, Kiss Country Oldies, 4745 North 7th Street. We're in Suite 210, Phoenix 85014. We'll draw a winner from all correct entries. The deadline is Friday, April 2nd. Listen again.
Don't know. Baby, will me ever.
Identify those five Crystal songs in a Crystal Clip, and good luck from the Red River Music Hall and your station for your all-time country favorites, AM 1230, Kiss Country Oldies, where traffic is tempting the Irish.
Well, Rick, someone does not have the luck of the Irish on the Papago Freeway this morning.
6:54 now, 6 minutes away from 7 o'clock. Got Don Williams on the way, and this from the Nitty Gritty Dirt Band, Fishing in the Dark, from Kiss Country Oldies.
The radio station that really plays your all-time favorites all the time. 1230 KISO Phoenix, Kiss Country Oldies.
Good morning. I'm Bob McClay on AM 1230, Kiss Country Oldies. Super mediation efforts begin today in an effort to stop a strike at America West Airlines. Grand jury has returned a 77-count indictment against an alleged child molester, and some new revelations this morning in the JonBenet Ramsey case. Details coming, information update. I'm Bob McClay on AM 1230, Kiss Country Oldies.
Thank you, Bob. Thank you for listening to AM 1230, Kiss Country Oldies. Your Weather Center forecast for the valley, mostly cloudy. Slight chance of showers until early afternoon. Then we'll have decreasing clouds. We'll look for warmer temperatures with a high near 70. Tomorrow, sunny and much warmer with highs in the upper 70s. Right now, it's 7:06. We have 49 degrees at Kiss Country Oldies.
Get ready for the most fun in the morning with Rick Stevenson.
Life is pain. Get used to it.
On AM 1230, Kiss Country Oldies.
But you know that I love.
AM 1230 Kiss Country Oldies. Think you got a pretty good job? Well, we're going to see how your job rates out. You've got a new book out, Rates the Top Jobs. We'll do that right after Conway.
I talk to the man in the moon. I don't know a thing about love.
AM 1230, KISO, Kiss Country Oldies, I Don't Know a Thing About Love, and that is Conway Twitty. Good morning, happy St. Patty's Day, 17th day of March. Perfect time for Irish stew and leprechauns. And if you see a leprechaun, you're already stewed, si. Hey, you think you got a pretty good job? What makes a good job? Money, the advancement, you know, for me, it's just, do you have fun doing it, and can you make a living at it? Well, you know, baseball players, president, cowboy, great jobs, right? Well, according to Jobs Rated Almanac, which is a new book ranking the best and worst jobs in the country, that's not the case. Try website manager, computer systems analyst, and software engineer. Apparently, the jobs that we always thought were very glamorous and most of them are at the bottom. 9 out of the 10 top jobs were in the computer or math-related fields, with website managers placing first. The most stressful jobs include, these are right at the bottom, taxi driver, race car driver, senior corporate executive, firefighter, and president of the United States. Least stressful? Number one, medical records technician. Janitor, forklift operator, musical instrument repairer, and number five, florist. Among the best paid jobs, number one, NBA basketball player. Followed by Major League Baseball, NFL football, number four, race car driver. All four in the sports field, number five is a surgeon. The worst income goes to maids, waitresses, cashiers, and child care worker, followed by last but not least, dishwasher. And I don't see anywhere on this list how they ranked interns at all, so I don't know if that's a bad job or not.
Well, I said, friend,
AM 1230, Kiss Country Oldies, number one song in 1957, Ferlin Husky, that is gone. 22 minutes after 7 o'clock, I'm Rick Stevenson. We also heard from John Conley, rose-colored glasses, Johnny Paycheck, don't take her, she's all I got. 23 minutes after 7 o'clock, let's play Kiss Country Oldies Brainbuster Trivia. You got a 1999 AMA Cruise America Arizona Superbike Challenges presented by Suzuki. Going on a PIR this weekend, Saturday and Sunday. The tickets are for Sunday's day of festivities. If you can answer our Kiss Country Oldies Brainbuster Trivia question at 260-1230, we'll start with caller number three. 1,885,000 Americans did this last night. 1,885,000 Americans did this last night. Did what? 260-1230. Pair of tickets to the AMA Cruise America Arizona Superbike Challenge from Suzuki PIR this weekend. We'll start with caller number three, 260-1230. 1,885,000 Americans did this last night. What did they do? While you're calling in, let's get a traffic update.
Good. The conditions apply.
Kiss Country Oldies Brainbuster Trivia at 726. I'm Rick Stevenson. 1,885,000 Americans did this last night.
How about dreaming?
Dreaming. No, not dreaming.
How about that?
Thanks for the call. Kiss Country Oldies, hi, have you got an answer?
Yeah, stay at a hotel.
Stayed at a hotel or a motel. That's absolutely correct.
All right.
Who's this?
Carolyn Boskin.
Well, Carolyn, are you a motorcycle fiend?
Not really, but that's okay.
You'll find somebody who will be.
Yes, sir.
Get out there, all the bikes and the leather and, you know. We got a pair of tickets for you to the AMA Cruise America Arizona Superbike Challenge out of PIR this weekend.
All right.
You have a great weekend and a great time out there.
Okay, thank you.
You bet. Tell me what station plays your all-time country favorites.
Kiss Country, 1230.
It's 745. Here's Charlie Pride on Kiss.
Burgers and fries.
Hello,
my name is Ronnie, and I just found your radio station yesterday, and I haven't turned it off.
Playing your all-time country favorites, AM 1230, Kiss Country Oldies.
Finally, KHOT, or Hot 105.9, was the sole Phoenix Jam and Oldies outlet. Heftel, or the Hispanic Broadcasting Corporation, as they're known by now, purchased the property and changed 105.9 to Spanish on April 5th. Now, we mentioned last time that KBZG at 104.3 morphed to that format at just about the same time, dumping 50s and 60s. Lindsay and Ty did Morning Drive for Hot 105.9, and here they are.
The new Hot 105.9 jamming R&B classics that make you feel good. Feeling good yet?
I know Ryder is a little higher.
So if you want to feel good, keep it on the station jamming R&B classics. The new Hot 105.9. The new Hot 105.9 KHOT. Call us at 260-1059. Fax us at 263-4848. Or email us at hot1059.com for your requests and dedications 24 hours a day. Play in Arizona's Jam and Oldies. The new Hot 105.9 KHOT.
Like the real oldies of Motown.
KHOT.
Anything that has the Motown sound, I love it.
Arizona's Jam and Oldies, and I just love it.
The new Hot 105.9.
KHOT.
My world. The new Hot 105.9. 105.9.
Ooh. Arizona's Jam and Oldies. The new Hot 105.9. KHOT.
The new Hot 105.9 KHOT, Arizona's Jam and Oldies.
Arizona's Jam and Oldies, the new Hot 105.9 KHOT.
Requests and dedications all morning long. Lindsay and Ty, Arizona's Jam and Oldies, the new Hot 105.9 KHOT. Man, we got some problems out there in traffic this morning.
Yeah, we got to check with Eric Zeitkavich. Eric, we got a call from a lady. She's stuck on Grand Avenue around 43rd Avenue and wanted to know what's going on.
This is the new Hot 105.9 KHOT. Paradise Valley, Phoenix. Arizona's Jam and Oldies.
Yeah, it is early in the morning and a good one to you. 7:07.
Lindsay and Ty, Arizona's Jam and Oldies, the new Hot 105.9 KHOT, Paradise Valley, Phoenix.
Oh, have we got a show lined up for you? Actually, two. We'll tell you about them in just a few. You hang with us now. You know what? Not only will we tell you about these shows, we're going to give you tickets. So.
Oh, we are so generous.
Don't go away. Don't go away. Don't go away. You don't like this one. And Oldies, the new Hot 105.9 KHOT. Talk about R&B's finest.
Oh, this is a repeat huge successful concert that we had last year. All five groups back together, and they're returning to the Celebrity Theater. Well, cool and showery today. We definitely got the clouds out there this morning. The showers are coming later on. High today, only 68 degrees. Clouds tomorrow in low 70s, and then sunshine, upper 70s. Thursday through Saturday. I'm Ty Flint with Lindsay on Arizona's Jam and Oldies with the new Hot 105.9 KHOT.
What turned out to be a simple scan of four stations ended up as a rather complex set of changes. It just goes to show you, if you're an air check collector, that tape you recorded yesterday could be a valuable piece of radio history tomorrow. Hope you enjoyed this look at Oldies Radio in Phoenix. From southwestern Kansas, I'm Mark Erdman for the DX Audio Service.
Thanks, Mark, for a great market scope. It just reminds us once again how fast this radio business changes. Next month, Tim Hendel gives us a grand tour of Huntsville's radio dial. I'm Phil Wayne for the DX Audio Service. What's on your mind? Here are the musings from the members.
This is Musings of the Members.
Hello, fellow DXers. This is Wayne Ryan in Brantford, Ontario. Well, there's quite a bit of news I have for you. 820 CHAM, Ontario's best country in Hamilton, has now built a 50,000-watt digital transmitter, and they're being heard in the daytime as far up as Sault Ste. Marie, and they're getting into Thompson, Manitoba at night, as far north as you can go in that province. CHOK in Sarnia, 1070, is working on some transmitter improvement, too. So is WOWO 1190 in Fort Wayne, Indiana. I'm happy to say that they're building a digital transmitter, and they're getting back into some areas stronger again where they used to be. In the Erie, Pennsylvania area, station on 1530 WBYZ briefly dropped country music to go to talk, but so much protest came in that they went back to classic country again off a satellite, but it's very good format. 1330 in Erie, WFLP, was a talk station. Now they're now all sports, WFNN, I believe it is. They are now all sports, and it's very good. Indiana, in the broad daylight on the X-band. Also, WGN's been coming in here in the daytime. And last weekend I got WSM Nashville Saturday and Sunday, both in the daytime. And I have a select antenna, select-A-antenna, which I put behind the radio usually to help me get better reception of distant stations. I get WLW Cincinnati in broad daylight. Last tape, Fred asked for opinions about best and worst portable radios we've ever had or known of. So here's my take on it. The worst ever, and I don't know if you have them in the States or not, but there's a brand been sold up here called Pulsar, P-O-L-S-A-R. Everybody that's ever had one has had complaints about it that they didn't last long and didn't give good reception or anything. Now, about the best, I have a GE Super Radio 3, which I don't think you can beat for just AM and FM, and especially distant AM reception. I do very well with that, and everybody that I know who has one is very, very satisfied with it. Years back, I've had some good multi-band ones, particularly from Radio Shack. Astronaut 6 and Patrolman 9 were excellent, and I had a Zenith Transoceanic one time, too. And I had a GE that had 10 bands, was quite good. So I think that they're some of the best ones. So that's my take on portable radios. I think that GE and Radio Shack products and Zenith, I think, have the best.
Greetings, Audio Service members here. Marty Rimpaugh on the 6th of November. And I wanted to tell you that 1510 KJQI is now 24 hours a day. I know they're 8,000 watts in the daytime, but I don't know what their power is at nighttime. Their nighttime signal is indicative of the old San Rafael transmitter site I forget exactly where it is. They used to say the Marin Headlands or something. But I don't know if they're using their Oakland transmitter site or their San Rafael, but it's indicative of their old 1,000-watt power. They may have lower power than that because a friend of mine who is up in Novato says he can't get them at night. Maybe he didn't check, but he says that he can't get them. But KJQI is now 24 hours a day on 1510.
Hello, DX Audio Service members. Mike Dukin calling from northwestern Wisconsin on Tuesday morning, November the 9th. I have a couple of format changes that are actually a couple of months old from this area, but here it goes. During the Labor Day weekend, WCSW in Shell Lake, Wisconsin on 940, and its FM counterpart, WGMO at 95.3, were bought by somebody in the Twin Cities, and the FM is running an automated classic rock format with a locally produced morning show. The AM, which has been running a hometown country and old-time music format forever, is now running a big band satellite format. Around here locally, WHSM AM in Hayward at 910 dropped one-on-one sports, and they are now running the Music of Your Life. The good thing about that is that they've also picked up the Associated Press Network feed, and they now run hourly newscasts 24 hours a day.
This is Mike Lance from Miami Beach, Florida, reporting that one of the big legends in Miami radio, who was on WQAM from the 1960s to the late 1970s, died on September 28th. I'm referring to Jim Dunlap, the one who would read the school menus in the morning and give the time in many different ways so people could know what's happening. We will all miss him. And Fred, if you have any air checks of Jim Dunlap, please play some. I would really appreciate it. Thank you very much.
Greetings, audio service members. Marty Rimpaugh here on the 11th of November. It seemed that I may have been a little bit premature regarding KJQI going 24 hours. They were on Friday night, and they were on Saturday night, and they did reduce their power both nights. But early Sunday morning, I didn't find them, and they have gone off at sunset ever since. So I don't know what happened. So apparently, I don't know if KJQI is either getting ready to go 24 hours a day or if something happened and they can't operate at sunset or exactly what. But apparently, it was only just for a couple of nights.
Hello, audio service members. Irving Wesolowski in Omaha. Today is the 15th of November. Hot news. The WOW-590 will be changing call letters and programming on the 22nd of November. The new call letter will be KOSJ, and they will cater to people 35 years and older. A nostalgia-type format will be used. This will not affect WWFM, which will continue to be country music. A very sad day in Omaha radio. The three-letter call and the W call will be eliminated on AM radio. Have a good Thanksgiving and Christmas. Bye-bye.
Give us your thoughts about what's happening in your area. Call the Musings line at 419-224-1609, 24 hours a day. Keep your ears open, and when you hear something that's important for everyone to know, call us.
This issue is coming to you a little bit different. Due to the ongoing problems with the mail, of which neither the Postmaster General, my local post office, nor my congressman wish to seriously address, let alone have the courtesy to reply to a letter, this issue of the DX Audio Service is being mailed from several locations. Now, I know it's a hardship for some folks, but if you have the opportunity to drop me a card or a letter, or just call my office and mention your name and when you got your tape, it would be helpful. Please don't do it if it's going to cost you any expense that you cannot handle. I'm just testing the system here. And speaking of mailings, with our next edition, there will be some changes. In an effort to curb the abuse by the U.S. Postal Service, the DX Audio Service is going to be sent in padded mail envelopes rather than the white boxes that we've mailed since 1985. It's my hope that this will curb our losses. This expense increase in packaging will be absorbed by the club, and as long as we don't have any major postal increases, I don't see our subscription rates going up quite yet.
This is the DX Audio Service, leading the way into the new millennium with noticeably better reception.
Buyout squelching independent radio. Media consolidation weeds out local voices. In an article in the Baltimore Sun newspaper. They came from all over greater Baltimore, an unlikely swarm drawn by an invisible force. They came in Mercedes sedans and old pickups on September's last day, shooting off the beltway like stones from a slingshot. They parked in the grass near the base of WNST's transmitting tower and piled into a small ranch house to join their hero, Nasty Nestor Aparicio, as he ended a fledgling attempt to bring independent sports and nothing but radio to Baltimore. snapped up by Catholic Radio Network, LLC of San Diego, for $1.5 million, a price far higher than Aparicio and his colleagues were willing to pay. 1570 AM now pipes in nationally talk show programming that is identical at all of Catholic Radio's 10 stations around the country. WNST's fate illustrates some of the forces that are reshaping American radio, which has generally been dominated by locally oriented stations whose news and patter were delivered by local broadcast journalists, disc jockeys, and talk show hosts. Those days are dwindling. Like so many other media industries, radio has become the province of large corporations that find it cheaper and easier to serve up canned, nationally distributed content than to rely on local voices. Now a single individual will make local decisions on playlists for 150 stations in a regional area, says Cheryl A. Lenza, deputy director of the Media Access Project, a nonprofit telecommunications law firm in Washington, D.C. Radio has always been the most local medium, the most intimately connected to the community, and that's disappearing rapidly, she said. From a strictly financial standpoint, these have been flush times for radio, with stations commanding high prices from broadcasters eager to expand. According to an industry report by Prudential Securities Incorporated in New York, the going rate to buy a radio station in 1993 was about 12 times its projected broadcast cash flow. That multiple is now up to around 16. The report found that the value of radio acquisitions nationwide in 1997 and 1998 totaled $29.4 billion, more than the tally racked up in the previous 12 years combined. In the biggest radio acquisition so far, Clear Channel Communications Incorporated, the nation's largest radio station owner, announced back on October 4th that it is buying the industry's number two player, AM/FM Incorporated, for $16.6 billion. Even after shedding some of the stations to comply with federal laws, the bulked-up Clear Channel will hold 830 stations nationwide. Locally, Sinclair Broadcast Group, Incorporated, agreed in August to sell the bulk of its radio holdings, 46 stations in 9 markets, for $824.5 million in cash to Entercom Communications Corporation of Pennsylvania. Radio's new era of corporatization and consolidation has a birth date, February 8, 1996. It was on that day that President Clinton signed into law the Telecommunications Act of 1996, which cast aside old regulatory barriers in the communications world. The Telecommunications Act impact on radio has been enormous. Previously, a broadcaster could own a maximum of 20 AM and 20 FM stations nationwide, 2 AM and 2 FM stations in any single market. Thanks to the 1996 Act, the broadcaster can now own an unlimited number of stations nationwide and up to 8 in any given market. Deregulation really allowed fundamental changes in the industry, says analyst Jeffrey G. Jones of Donaldson, Lufkin and Jenneret Incorporated in New York. It amounted to essentially a land rush, he says. Consolidation enables a broadcaster to lock up a range of stations, catering to different demographic groups, creating attractive packages for advertisers. The rampant buying of radio properties has also stoked station prices. As consolidation occurs, those stations that remain standing are worth more money, says Bruce Lichtman, an analyst for the Yankee Group, a Boston-based technology and communications research firm. One consequence of this, Lichtman said, is the homogenization of the radio dial. Certainly, consolidation has put a large number of stations in the hands of fewer and fewer. And certainly that leads to less diversity of programming. Linkman and other industry experts say relief from this blandification of radio may have to come from non-traditional sources, such as satellite, the internet, and low-power stations. In the meantime, the consolidation spiral will not exhaust itself anytime soon. You will see the big get bigger, Jones said. It's not over yet, he said. What is over is WNST's all-sports experiment, which first hit the airwaves August 3rd of 1998. Aparicio had bought up all the time slots on the station from the owner, Captain Kidd's Radio Network, and then made money from advertising. Aparicio, a Dundalk native, is an engaging motormouth who found a way to turn a boyish fascination with sports into a paying job that allowed him to hang out with the wide receivers and avoid neckties. He had some success at WNST, garnering a local core of listeners and a consistent stable of sponsors. The station even took out Help Wanted ads to bring in its staffers. Aparicio had an option to purchase the whole operation and had hoped to exercise it. We intended to buy the station, he said. We were ready to pay $900,000 or up to $1 million because it was doing well. Captain Kidd's had bought the station in 1993 for just over $700,000. However, Aparicio learned firsthand just how inflated radio station prices have become. It would have cost him $1.45 million to pick up the operation on the station's FCC license and transmitter. He concluded that the price would be too steep for him to pay. At the end of July, he learned that Catholic Radio Networks had agreed to take over the station. Aparicio and his partners cast about for another small local station where they could continue their sports shows, but came up empty. Steve Hennessy, a staff director of sales and promotions, said that in Baltimore there are very few options for independent, non-corporate broadcasters who seek a dial space. As a result, instead of occupying a generous chunk of drive-time programming on his own tiny station, Aparicio now holds down the 10 p.m. to 1 a.m. weekend slot on WCBM 680, where he began operations on October 4th. Not that Aparicio is shedding any tears about his new address. He's on a bigger station with a clearer signal. WCBM beams out a 10,000-watt daytime signal, 5,000 watts at night. By contrast, WNST could muster only 5,000 watts in the daytime and was required by the Federal Communications Commission to power down to a meager 237 watts at night. At Aparicio's WNST farewell party, most listeners reacted to the station's switch with equanimity. With a bigger signal, I think he'll actually be able to pick up some listeners, said Debbie Straub, a bank lending associate who goes by the call-in name of Deb from Bel Air. However, there were some attendees who saw the gathering as a wake for all hours of local radio programming. It's really sad to see what's going on, says Howard Kessner, a podiatrist from Pikesville who's been a loyal fan of WNST's sports host. They're Baltimore people and talked about neighborhoods and restaurants. Baltimore's got a certain charm, and I enjoy the local flavor that they give, he said. Local flavor is not the name of the game at the new WNST. The Catholic radio station carries national talk with a conservative bend. Hosts hold forth from wherever they happen to live. None is based in the Baltimore area, and the feed is transmitted nationwide through San Diego, California. WNST's station manager, Paul Kapelke, spoke enthusiastically about this new model of radio, in which identical feeds are relayed nationwide from the home studio of a radio personality. Geography becomes meaningless. In today's world, Kapelke said, nobody lives anywhere. But what about radio's local voices? Kopelke's answer is quick. They're going away. To Kopelke, the rise of centralized programming is a healthy reassertion of a tradition that stretches from Jack Benny to Rush Limbaugh, the national radio show that reaches into every corner of the nation. Rather than using up the airwaves, talking about some purely local matter of politics or pigskins, Deb from Bel Air can mix it up with George from Minneapolis, or even with Paul Harvey himself, said Kopelke. The thing that makes a country a community is radio, he said. And that's Buyout Squelching Independent Local Radio in the Baltimore Sun.
Since April of 1985, this is the DX Audio Service, a nonprofit organization devoted to the radio listening hobby.
And following up from our previous article, this article from the Kansas City Star. It's titled, Big Rockers Stick Up for Little FM Radio Stations. Mirrored in eye-glazing technical language and First Amendment rhetoric, the low-power FM radio licensing issue finally is getting a little rock and roll sexiness. Indigo Girls, Bonnie Raitt, Jackson Browne, Minutemen founder Mike Watt, Jenny Toomey of Simple Machines and Sunumi, and indie rocker Archer Prewitt have joined a grassroots movement backing a Federal Communications Commission proposal to license 100 and 1,000-watt radio stations to private individuals. If the proposal becomes law, a record collector could, for instance, get a low-power license to broadcast his vinyl selections over a several-block area, or a urban health organization could broadcast safe sex announcements in Spanish to a nearby neighborhood. The idea is being pushed by FCC Commissioner William Kennard, who thinks that the proposal would increase minority and non-corporate voices on the airwaves. Corporate broadcasters, which own most of the major radio stations, oppose the idea, fearing that the low-power radio stations will bleed into their frequencies. Pushing the cause has been a coalition of illegally operating pirate broadcasters. Now they are joined by a handful of activist performers. Radio waves are a natural resource and they belong to the people, but just like other natural resources, corporations will stop at nothing to gain control of the airwaves for their sole financial gain, said Indigo Girl Amy Ray in a statement. And that was from the Kansas City Star, October 31st, 1999. From Saul Chernos, who recently turned over the moderator's job to Rick Lewis, AM, FM, and TV DXers are invited to check out a email listserv devoted to DXing on those three bands. The main intent of the list is to issue DX alerts and warnings and to discuss DX-related information pertaining to those mainstream broadcast bands as opposed to shortwave and ham bands. To check them out on the web and subscribe, just visit www.qth.net/archive/AMFMTVDX/AMFMTVDX.html. You'll see the postings, and within the site there is information on how to subscribe. And also don't forget the National Radio Club's own listservs. We have several lists depending on your interests. There is the AM list for AM radio discussions, the FM TV list for discussions of FM radio and television, the DX tip list where people can post their hot tips, alerts, and information about stations that are testing, the DXC list that stands for DX change for the posting of buy, sell, and trade items, the IDXD list for a copy of Jim Renfrew's International DX Digest column whenever it comes out, the GYDX page for the top distance records in hearing stations on the graveyard channels, and for information on how to subscribe, just go to www.nrcdxas.org and follow the links. Also, we received information that if you'd like to look up a station on the World Wide Web, courtesy of the FCC, I might add, you can go to www.fcc.gov/mmb/asd/amq www.hotmail.html. You can enter the call sign and then just type in the call letters and get the information. However, if you'd like to get that information a little bit closer to home, don't forget that the world-famous AM radio log from the National Radio Club is out. It's available from the Publication Center, and if you don't have access to a reading machine and you'd like to get that on disc, just contact the Publication Center for more details.
DXAS. With better variety and less static.
Here's the CPC calendar for December 1999 on the DX Audio Service. WJIB 740 AM in Cambridge, Massachusetts will be testing on December the 20th from midnight until 12:20 AM Eastern Standard Time. You'll hear Morse code and some selected music. They'll be testing 250 watts at non-directional. Be a good chance to get them since CBL is now off the air. Reports can be sent to Bob Bittner, B as in boy, I-T-T-N-E-R, at WJIB Radio, 443 Concord, Cambridge, Massachusetts, 02138. Next up on the calendar is a New Year's test for KSTN, 1420 a.m. in Stockton, California. They'll be testing starting at 3 a.m. Eastern Time. That's midnight Pacific. 1970s disco music should be heard. Also, there'll be a prize drawing for a souvenir piece of the transmitter. Reports can be sent to Mr. Paul Shinn, S-H-I-N-N, at 2171 Ralph Avenue, R-A-L-P-H, Stockton, California, 95206. Next up is WFIF 1500 in Milford, Connecticut. They'll be testing on the 9th of January, 2000, from 12:30 a.m. till 12:45 a.m. Eastern Time. You'll hear tones, voice IDs, and Morse code IDs. Reports can be sent to Mr. William Barnett, B-A-R-N-E-T-T, at 90 K Avenue, that's K-A-Y, in Milford, Connecticut, M-I-L-F-O-R-D. Zip code is 06460. We also have talk of a WILM test. Details are unknown. If you're on the NRC email list, keep an eye on there. Finally, if you want to get in touch with me for donations of stamps or lists of stations you want to hear, you can do so. Name is Blaine Thompson, B-L-A-I-N-E. Address is P.O. Box 15762, Fort Wayne, Indiana. Zip code is 46885. We'll be back again next month with some more CPC news. Live from the studios of WoWo Radio 1190 in Fort Wayne, I'm Blaine Thompson.
Thank you very much, Blaine. And this CPC test just came in under the wire, so I'd like to read it for you now. This is for WAAT 750 in Oliphant, Pennsylvania. WAAT will be testing on Saturday, December the 17th from 0100 to 0200. This test will consist of tones, code IDs, and polka music. Phone calls, prepaid, please, to area code 570-342-7575. Reports may be sent to Mr. Kevin Fennessy, F-E-N-N-E-S-S-E-Y, radio station WAAT, Bank Towers Building, 321 Spruce Street, 3rd floor, Scranton, Pennsylvania, 08502. And this test was arranged by David Schmidt for the National Radio Club's CPC. And speaking of right under the wire, this news story just cleared Associated Press via the New York Times News Service, and I thought you'd be interested in it. It's titled, FCC Proposes an Audio Channel to Narrate TV Action for the Blind. The Federal Communications Commission has proposed that broadcasters be required to adopt technology allowing the blind to follow the action on television by listening to a narrator describe it. The proposal, part of a broader FCC plan to make telecommunications more accessible to Americans with disabilities, would introduce to a large number of stations an innovation that is now used, voluntarily, by just a few, most of them public television channels, which apply the technology to a limited number of programs. Television is the most important cultural medium in our society, William E. Kennard, the commissioner's chairman, said in an interview. It is a shared experience that connects people, and we must do all that we can do to break down the barriers. Of the 54 million Americans with disabilities, the commission says 8 million to 12 million are blind or have only partial sight. We cannot leave these people behind, Kennard said. The technology works by allowing the user to turn on a second audio program channel where a narrator describes the action during pauses in the dialogue. Audiences can hear that a character sadly buries his face in his hands, for example, or that someone is creeping through a darkened hallway. Newscasts, sports coverage, which are typically including play-by-play descriptions, and talk shows would be exempt from the rules because the regular audio is generally sufficient to allow a visually impaired audience to follow those programs. Jeffrey Bobeck, a spokesman for the National Association of Broadcasters, said the association was studying the proposal and would comment later. But in the 3 years that the rules have been under discussion, a number of broadcasters have pointed out that in some markets, the secondary audio channel is already used for Spanish and other foreign language audio, a potential conflict. The cost of providing video descriptions is another concern amongst broadcasters. The video description rules were unanimously approved by Kennard and the four other commissioners last Thursday, but will not become final until after the public comment period, lasting several months. And before we close out the DX Audio Service this month, this year, and the end of the 1900s, a quick note about something which I've had a lot of questions about, and that is Docket 9925, the creation of a low-power FM radio service. I have sent several emails, and we'll follow up with some letters, inquiring to the FCC about this matter. Now, it's my understanding that after everyone commented, a paper with all the comments was published. Now, at that point, the replies side of the notice took effect, and people could reply to what people wrote in their comments. So the way I understand it is that there should be a document with all the comments and a document with all the replies. Well, I've either misinterpreted this process or they're hidden somewhere on the FCC's website. I spent about 2.5 hours looking for them today, and I have not found anything that even comes close to the comments or replies. So I hope to have more on this on our next DX Audio Service. Just a quick reminder, if you would like to get a gift for someone this year that gives them a lot of information, consider a gift of the DX Audio Service. When you buy someone a subscription, you get something as well, and that is a month added to your subscription. So you give a gift and you get one as well. Contact me for more details. And again, just a quick reminder about our tape policy. If you have a tape which comes up missing, please contact us here at the DX Audio Service, but please wait until the 10th of the month before you panic. And if you have a tape that is defective in any way, be sure that you send it back. If you call, write, or do something else, it's just going to delay the process. If you don't send back your tape, we have to deduct 1 month off your DX Audio Service. So if you get a bad tape, just send it back. We'll replace it. No questions asked. That's it. That's all. We'll see you in 30 days with more DX stuff and the first issue of the year 2000. Remember, get out there and support radio.
Come on, come on. Come on, you can do it. All right.
Dashing through the snow in my rusty Chevrolet. Down the road I go, sliding all the way. I need new piston rings, I need some new snow tires. My car is held together by a piece of chicken wire. Oh, rust and smoke, the heater's broke, the door just blew away. I light a match to see the dash, and then I start to pray. The frame is bent, the muffler went, the radio, it's okay.
Oh, what fun it is to drive this rusty Chevrolet. Rust and smoke, the heater's broke, the door just flew away. I light a match to see the dash, and then I start to pray.